This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The Institute of Medicine released three reports today on emergency medical care. They describe a system working far past its capacity, plagued by long waits and serious overcrowding. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports.
Dr. Patrick O'Neill in Atlanta, Georgia, knows the problems firsthand. He's medical director of the state's Emergency Medical Services Office. Several years ago, he was in an ambulance that picked up a child who'd had lost consciousness after a bad fall. O'Neill was anxious. A bleed within the brain would require immediate treatment, but he couldn't get into the nearby emergency room.
First hospital, which was the closest, we radioed and indicated what we had. We're told that they were on diversion because they did not have a neurosurgeon available.
Specialists have begun avoiding emergency room duty because many uninsured patients can't pay and because of the cost of malpractice insurance.
We radioed the next closest available facility, and we were told that they had no spaces left in the emergency department where they could even evaluate patients.
The third hospital was a 45-minute drive away. After a tense ride, the exam there showed no bleeding within the skull.
We were lucky, but you're not always lucky.
At a press conference today, one of the authors of the new report, trauma surgeon Brent Eastman, said it can happen to any patient.
Because of long waits and crowded EDs, the ambulance may get there and not be able to offload, and you will be diverted. Is this a large problem? Well, it happens once every minute, every hour, every day in this country.
And if you're not sent somewhere else, overcrowding can lead to waits of as long as 2 days. The Emergency Medical Services, or EMS, transport system itself has problems. Shirley Gamble of the United Way of Austin, Texas, says people are misinformed if they think things will go smoothly once they call an ambulance.
I think most of us think about TV shows and imagine EMS coming in, immediately saving your life and getting you to the hospital without any barriers to success. That's not the case.
Other barriers include ambulance services in neighboring communities that can't or won't communicate with each other, not enough ambulance coverage in rural areas, and no national training standards for emergency medical technicians. The system is so uneven that heart attack survival with one emergency medical transport service can be 10 times worse than with another. Marianne Gaucher-Hill of Harborview UCLA Medical Center says there's a crisis for children in the ER as well.
There's over 110 million emergency department visits in the United States every year, of which 30 million visits are with children.
Yet only 6% of emergency departments are fully equipped to deal with children. The report calls for better coordination of hospitals and transport systems, a single government agency to oversee emergency medical care, an end to emergency room closures and diversions, and $50 million for hospitals that see a lot of uninsured patients. Many of the report's authors say that emergency rooms are victims of their own success, that because there have been no catastrophic failures, the public won't notice the system is at the breaking point. They expect that would change, though, if something comes along to overload the system, something like pandemic flu or a bioterrorism attack or even another major hurricane. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.